This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, sitting in for John Hockenberry. Thank you so much for listening. This hour, an investigation into a homeschooling lobby that has set back regulation of the system, plus biotech theft becomes a national security problem when it comes to America's corn seeds. And we'll continue with The Takeaway Book Club. Later this hour, you'll hear three Takeaway listeners discuss Ta-Nehisi Coates' latest book, Between the World and Me. But we begin with a corporate decision that's found itself smack in the middle of America's national debate on gun control. It's a debate that's resurfaced following Wednesday's shooting in Roanoke, Virginia, which left two journalists dead and another person injured. On the same day as the Roanoke shooting, Walmart, the nation's biggest seller of guns and ammunition, announced that it would no longer be selling modern sport rifles. That's another name for assault-style rifles, including the AR-15. Now, some saw this as a response to the violence in Virginia. But a Walmart spokesman says the move was only a response to slumping demand for the guns. Walmart also said that it would be adding to its offerings shotguns and other weapons used by hunters and sportsmen. Overall, it refuses to disclose any sales figures to get to the bottom of its real motivations. So Walmart said that it's not entering the political fray over guns. But on Wednesday and Thursday, the 2016 presidential candidates tried to provide solutions of their own to the American public, and it came out predictably divided. From Iowa, Hillary Clinton took the opportunity to call for stricter gun control legislation.
I believe we are smart enough, we are compassionate enough to figure out how to balance the legitimate Second Amendment rights with preventive measures and control measures.
Donald Trump told CNN that the entire issue really is a mental health issue.
This is really a sick person. This isn't a gun problem. This is a mental problem.
And on Thursday, New Jersey governor and Republican presidential candidate Chris Christie told CBS This Morning that new gun laws aren't the answer.
We don't enforce the laws we have. You know, when I was U.S. attorney in New Jersey for 7 years, we enforced the gun laws against felons who held guns. They're the ones who are committing most of the violent crime in this country, and yet we want to be calling for more laws.
So you're probably not surprised by those statements from political candidates in 2016 from around the political spectrum, but lawmakers in Washington, D.C., the ones with votes, have thus far been immobile on the issue. Meanwhile, Americans have found some common ground on gun control. According to Pew Research, 85% of Americans favor expanded background checks for gun buyers. And background checks are up this summer by quite a lot. The FBI conducted 1.6 million background checks in July for all gun sales. That's up from 1.4 million this time last year. But checks are actually considered to be an indicator of the market. So more checks probably means higher gun sales. So with politics around gun control deadlocked, the question now is whether Walmart's decision, even if it's financially motivated, will have any sway on the market for these assault-style guns. Joining us now is Charles Fishman. He's author of The Walmart Effect, How the World's Most Powerful Company Really Works, and How It's Transforming the American Economy. Charles Fishman, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So Walmart says that taking AR-15s and other assault-style rifles off the shelves is simply a response to slumping demand. Is there any way to know if that's really their motivation?
Well, you yourself said it looks like gun sales are actually up this year over last year. Walmart is going back 20 years, the largest seller of guns and ammunition in the United States. It's hard to believe that gun sales overall are rising, but Walmart is excluded from that. I think Doug McMillon, the CEO of Walmart, 2 months ago made it clear he wasn't comfortable selling these kinds of guns.
Our focus as it relates to firearms should be hunters and people who shoot sporting clays and things like that. So the types of rifles we sell, the types of ammunition we sell should be curated for those things. And we believe in serving those customers. We have for a long time, and we believe we should continue to.
That's what he told CNN, actually, in the wake of the Charleston killings. So he had signaled very clearly that these guns were coming off the shelves. There just hadn't been an announcement. Interestingly, Walmart didn't actually release a piece of paper. There's no formal statement. They offered Corey Lundberg, the spokesman, to anybody who wanted to write about this. And I think that's kind of revealing. They're trying to have an impact without there being tremendous Walmart blowback.
All right. Well, regardless of motivations, then, we've said it a couple times. Walmart is number one when it comes to firearm sales. So they're making this decision. What do we know about Walmart's influence in markets like this? And anyone who hopes that Americans are going to buy less guns, can they put any hope in the fact that Walmart is cutting back on assault-style rifles? Will it make any difference?
I don't think that this is Walmart's motivation. I think Doug McMillon made it clear he's uncomfortable selling this kind of weapon. And I think if you take one step forward, you can imagine how horrified any seller of these guns, whether the scale of Walmart or a community gun store, would be if a weapon they sold was used in an event like Charleston or like what happened near Roanoke earlier this week. So it's very easy for Walmart to sort of imagine themselves into that position. I don't think Walmart thinks that somebody who really wants a gun isn't going to get a gun because they stopped selling a specific kind of gun. The impact Walmart is going to have is they widen the conversation. I think they may cause some people in the country to think, wow, if Walmart can move to place limits on their involvement in gun sales, and if Walmart, which no one thinks is a bastion of liberal political theory or liberal political behavior, if Walmart can behave this way, maybe I'm not thinking about guns and gun sales in a completely constructive way. I don't think Walmart is trying to change the conversation, but I think the impact, just like Walmart saying, we believe gays have civil rights and should have civil rights and that that's good for America, which the CEO did just a few months ago in response to these religious freedom laws. I think what Walmart ends up doing is widening the conversation, is creating a space to talk about something where people may change their minds. And I think that's the kind of impact they're having. Guns in most of the U.S. aren't that hard to get. And the fact that you can't get it at Walmart doesn't mean you can't get it.
Charles Fishman, aren't we also maybe seeing a symptom of Walmart's move from the outer suburbs and rural areas into the cities? I live in Washington, D.C. There are several new Walmarts there. And when Walmart wanted to come in, it faced the city councils of Washington, D.C. and all of their urban politics. And Walmart has been under pressure in lots of urban jurisdictions over gun sales. So maybe this is part of a reaction. Maybe they realize if they want to expand into the cities, they don't want to be seen as a purveyor of powerful guns.
Right. Walmart has very slowly cut back the number of stores it sells guns in. It used to sell guns in half or more of its stores. Now it's down to about a third. So that's been very quiet, and you don't make an announcement about that. So I think there's something to what you say. I think there's actually something else going on here. In just the last 8 months, 10 months, Doug McMillon has raised the minimum wage and created the space for lots of other companies to do that. He has instantly removed Confederate flag merchandise in the wake of the Charleston shooting without hesitation and very publicly, came out in favor of gay rights and opposed to legislation that would sanction discrimination against gays, and then this week quietly removed assault weapons from the stores. I think you're seeing the impact literally of a CEO thinking a little differently about the kind of company he's going to run. I think 10 years ago, if you'd gone to the CEO of Walmart then, Lee Scott, and said, there's this law about sanctioning religious discrimination against gays, if you're uncomfortable, we'd like you to take a position against it. I think Walmart would have said, we're happy to sell laundry detergent and toothpaste to the opponents of the law and the supporters of the law, but we're not going to take a position on the law itself because that's not what we do. And this year, in a very short period, you've seen them stepping up on a bunch of social issues where 5 and certainly 10 years ago they wouldn't have. So I think the urban issue is a little bit of it, but I think Doug McMillon is trying to rehumanize this enormous corporation, the largest corporation ever created in human history. And I think by acting like a human being, here Walmart did something this week that legislatures and city councils and Congress has failed to do. They just stepped up and said, probably we don't need to supply these weapons. I'm not sure that lots of Walmart's customers agree with those positions in their own world, But I don't think Doug McMillon's worried about losing shoppers. I think what he's trying to do is put a real face back on a huge company. And also, I think he must feel like he's trying to do the right thing. Why wouldn't you take the Confederate flag merchandise out of the stores?
Well, it seems like whether it's gay rights or Confederate flags or high-powered assault-style rifles like the AR-15, Walmart is trying to change the conversation while avoiding all of the shouting. Charles Fishman, author of The Walmart Effect, How the World's Most Powerful Company Really Works. Charles, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Todd.